Hello and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion and worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available.
This is what the psalmist says to us. He makes you lie down. And you know what he does to us? He speaks to us. How about a child who hears the voice of his mother? And that child settles down by hearing the voice of the mother. How much more the people of God will hear the voice of our Savior? He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He comforts us with that word. That's what's an allusion to. It's to the truths of God's word. It's the promises of God's word. It's the lost pasture, as the sheep would go out and be feeding on all of that nourishment. We're nourished up by the words of faith, by the truth of God's word. And so He speaks that to us. He makes us to lie down in the green pastures. Notice, He leads me beside the still waters. I love that. That's the work of the Savior. He makes and He leads. It's the gentle leading of the shepherd. Because once He settles us down through the comfort and the promise of His word, you begin to hear His voice, don't you? Because with all the noise and the distraction, you can't hear the voice of the shepherd. And so as He calms us by His word and His spirit, you begin to hear the voice of the shepherd, and you then follow Him as He leads us to the still waters. You know, sheep are the type, well, I have a good friend here that has sheep, and he'll tell you about those sheep. One time he told me about his sheep breaking through his fence and killing them, eating the corn and eating so much that they killed themselves. Is it any surprise that we're called the sheep of God's pasture? We need to do the same thing as the people of God. We must be led. We must be those people who are restored and led and makes. And this is what David says here in verse 2 and verse 3. Notice, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Do you remember David's sin with Bathsheba? It's the Lord who comes to him. After a year, David is unrepentant. The Lord chastens His people. He was a miserable, sick man. Psalm 32, he writes about that experience. He said his whole inward life juices were dried up because he was unrepentant in his life. But then when he confessed his sin to the Lord, that's when the restoring of the soul. And he says in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He doesn't say, restore unto me my salvation. He didn't lose his salvation. He lost the joy of his salvation. And the Lord restores that as He gently leads His people by the still waters and into the green pastures. And notice He does it for His namesake. It's the Savior who redeems, and it's the Savior who promises, and He cannot not fulfill His promises. He must fulfill His promises. And so He leads His people as He says He'll do. He says in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's important you understand something here. He says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't say He walks through death. You see, death has already been conquered in the shepherd, isn't it? Christ has already died. He has overcome death. Jesus is the one in Revelation 1 who says, I was dead, but am alive forevermore, and I have overcome both death, hell, and Hades. Christ has overcome. So it's only the shadow of death. It's only that which, and isn't it amazing that our imaginations and things that are wandering in our mind can be more frightful than these things that even come upon us. Things that don't even come upon us. And we worry ourselves over these things. But he says, that's just a shadow. Death is past for you. When we die, it's to enter into the joy of our Lord as the people of God. But He's with us. That's why we don't fear any evil. We not only not fear any evil, we don't fear the evil one. As Jesus taught His disciples to pray, and more accurately, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. But the Greek term there is paneros. It's a nominative case, which means it's a person. It's Satan. Deliver us from the evil one. And this is the one we do not fear, because John has said, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And if God be for you, who can be against you? He has conquered all things. And Paul says in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Super conquerors in Jesus Christ. The Greek term nike right there. We are abundant conquerors in Jesus Christ. And so it's only the shadow of death. And we're not going to fear that, because Christ has overcome that for us and He dwells with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Comfort to know that Christ the shepherd cares for me. A staff was a basic tool of the shepherd, wasn't it? The staff that had the big hook on the end, and the hook would be for bringing back sheep who would stray, and also for breaking the legs of those who continually strayed. That's the discipline of the Savior. He didn't kill the sheep, but He broke their legs so they wouldn't be continually wandering off and leading others astray. So it's that comfort of knowing that the Lord guides and defends and preserves us against all of our enemies and keeps us from damaging ourselves. Keeps us from destroying ourselves. Because that's what sin does, beloved. Sin perverts the mind. Sin perverts the judgment. Sin in the mind of man comes out in all kinds of words, doesn't it? And we're not immune to that as believers. But we are called to tame the tongue by the Word and the Spirit. And so this is what the rod and the staff, they comfort me. Comforts me with our confessions. To know that as the people of God, we confess the same thing. When you say Jesus and I say Jesus, we're speaking about the same Jesus. It's a comfort to know that we speak the same thing. He's the one who prepares a table for us. Notice that we gather together this morning. We gather together at this table, the Lord's table, to partake of the Lord's Supper. And we do so in the midst of a hostile world that hates God. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Those that ridicule and mock us for believing and trusting the Bible, trusting the Word of God, partaking of the Lord's Supper. He prepares it. He spreads out a feast before the watching world and beckons His people. Come, come eat of the bread and drink of the wine. Come for the nourishment at the table that I, the Savior, the Shepherd, supply to you. My head He anoints with oil. What a joy and a comfort that is. That used to be what was the anointing oil of the kings of the Old Testament. The oil that ran over. The oil of gladness. The psalmist says, and also in the Proverbs, oil makes the face of man glad. It's a soothing ointment. It was something that was used in the New Testament as an antiseptic to rub on sore muscles. And so there was a great commodity to have oil, to have great olive fields. And this is, notice that the anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. He fills me up to the fullness. I dare say that when our focus is off of Jesus Christ, we think we don't have a full cup. When we look to the things of the earth, we look to our neighbors, we look to the homes that they have, the cars that they drive, the money that they make, all the things and the stuff of the earth, we lose focus that our cup truly is running over, beloved. We inherit all things. We are co-heirs in Jesus Christ, who has merited all the heavenly blessings, and He shares that inheritance with us. And He provides for us day by day everything that we need for life and for godliness. And notice the twin sisters right here. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy following after you all the days of your life. What a blessing to know that God's goodness rests upon us. Why? Because we're in Christ. Christ is God's grace. Christ is the goodness of God, the mercy of God. It's in Jesus Christ. God's goodness says this, that all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. It doesn't matter what it is. God's goodness says this, that nothing will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not things present, not things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate you from the love of God. That's the goodness of God. The goodness of God is that your cup runs over. The goodness of God is that He leads you by the still waters. The goodness of God is He makes you to dwell in the green pastures. He comforts your soul. He speaks truth to your life, beloved, and gives you the comfort of the Holy Spirit who says, you are a child of God. He has redeemed you. You bear your sin no more. It's been cast as far as the east is from the west. What a mercy that is of not getting what we truly deserve. That follows us continually. You look at your life. You think about your thoughts this past week. Think about all the things that you've thought since last Lord's Day and all the things that you've said since last Lord's Day. Now what do you deserve? If you're honest, if you're truthful, you'd say in and of myself, I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve hell. But you don't get that because the Good Shepherd, He took your hell. The Good Shepherd cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might, as the people of God, be able to cry out, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ took the punishment that we might receive the blessing. He took the malediction, the cursing of the covenant, that we might receive the blessing of the covenant. There is no condemnation, Romans 8:1, and no separation, Romans 8:39. What a glorious goodness and mercy that follows us, beloved. Not some days, not most days, but all the days of our life, and we are promised that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know that? Do you know that nothing can snatch you from Christ? Jesus said in that John 10, if you read on further, that no one can snatch you from His hand. This is the blessing of salvation. It's not temporary. It's eternal. When you're saved and you're redeemed by the Good Shepherd, that is never taken away from you. And Jesus said, I give them eternal life. He said in John 5, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and is passed from death into life, never more to come into condemnation. It's a question, do you believe His word, beloved? Do you believe His word? If you believe His word, you trust His word, you know He's your shepherd, and you keep on following Him. Because grace, goodness, mercy, all the necessities of life everlasting are found in Him, even as Peter said, where are we going to go, Lord? You alone have the words of eternal life. That's the blessing, beloved, of having Jesus as your shepherd.
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencercus.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.